This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ben Standing is back from Indy. He writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe to it. It's totally worth it. You can follow Ben on Twitter, on X, at Ben Standing. And Ben has a podcast called Last Man Standing. You can get it wherever you get any of your podcasts. So Ben Solak from ESPN did some, you know, hypothetical trades. And he had Washington as the best landing spot for Deebo Samuel. Future fourth rounders, kind of a post June 1, so they could spread the $31 million cap hit the 49ers could over 2 years. So a post June 1 trade with a 2026 fourth rounder and a 2027 fifth rounder that could become a fourth. So conditional fifth was the price. Do you think that they would consider that or should?
If we're talking like, you know, day three picks, not to say those aren't important as well, but obviously there's a difference between that and, say, trading, you know, a couple firsts for a Myles Garrett or someone like that. So if Deebo Samuel, if he's healthy, he's obviously been a pretty impressive game changer in the league. He was drafted by Adam Peters, knows him well. So if Peters, you know, says, hey, I like this guy, we want him in our locker room, on our team, then, you know, sure, that kind of price doesn't seem a huge of a deal. Obviously, he's had some injury issues. He's coming off a down year. If you're going to make a trade, presumably there's going to be a new contract. So, yeah, I mean, they need something like that. I think just in general, though, I keep coming back with the draft picks. You know, if they make these deals that everybody wants them to make involving draft picks, you know, they have three in the top 80, but they only have three in the top 145. That, you know, they've got a six and two sevenths. These are, you know, these are depth pieces. They're not core pieces. And, you know, they've only had the one draft under Peters. I don't imagine he wants to have just like one draft and then, you know, only a handful of picks the next time. So that to me has been the constant rub about trading picks. Again, day three stuff is not going to, be huge losses necessarily, but, you know, volume is volume. It's one of the things people point to the Eagles lately with, you know, they're building up the lines. The Eagles just have a lot of picks every year. And I just don't know if I see Adam Peters wanting to go below, you know, too far below the seven that they have, when you can go out and sign players for agency. So I get why Washington is constantly the target for these trades, but, you know, I still wonder if Adam Peters is really going to be willing to give up picks when, you know, he still has only had 1 year to help build the team in that way. And that's, you know, that is where Adam Peters, his, you know, with San Fran was noted for his draft classes.
Well, the interesting part about why Washington's much more a part of these offseason discussions with players of note is twofold, right? One, they're considered to be a Super Bowl contender. We've never dealt with that in an offseason. Most people listening haven't. I wasn't doing this the last time they were a Super Bowl contender. And two, it's the interesting part about them being a Super Bowl contender is they have a lot of needs to fill. Because their roster isn't super strong. They're a Super Bowl contender because they are elite at the quarterback position. So that's why, you know, they're going to be subject to a lot of this conversation. And, you know, with respect to picks, you know, there's a lot of, you know, give and take, right? Because you nailed it. You said it a week ago here that John Allen would be moved. And, you know, early in the week, it was discussed that he and his agent can go out and seek a trade. So hopefully they get something back. But when I looked at that proposed trade, first of all, I can't imagine the 49ers, quite honestly, taking a 26 and a 27. You know, those picks are typically discounted in the minds of GMs anyway, Ben, when you're not talking about the upcoming draft. And those, in essence, you know, equate to sort of later day three picks for a guy that, when healthy, is a star player, when healthy.
Yeah. I blocked out that it was later years as I was going on there, so apologies for that. But yeah, sure. In general, I mean, it's too far. It's one thing if it's like, you know, trading a first round pick this year and another one next year for Myles Garrett, trading late day three picks for, you know, I mean, it's sure. What I think is, and I'm curious what you think from your perch back here is, you know, for me, this combine was, you know, the draft is always the reason that you're there. And obviously Washington is very different this year, picking 29 instead of two. But the draft, to me, has felt very taken a back seat to the other parts of free agency. And yet it wasn't like there was like a ton of big, I mean, there wasn't not a ton of news. It was a lot of this player and that player has been granted permission to seek a trade. I think we're all waiting for things to happen. But right now it's just kind of, you know, people are throwing darts at the wall. We just haven't. This seems like it's the unprecedented amount of players who are available that we know are openly available for trade, not just rumors, not just speculation, but like everybody is saying, yeah, they can go seek a trade. And, you know, so of course that leads to everybody wanting to go find a trade. It's sort of like with John Allen. Like, I don't know if anybody's out there coming up with trade scenarios. I don't think there's any to be had. I mean, you know, I don't really. If somebody wants to swap a six for Allen and a seventh, I mean, sure, whatever. But like that, you know, I just feel like most of these deals are getting discussed as if like they're going to happen. When I just don't know if I really see it. Myles Garrett's different, but like the one with the guys.
Myles Garrett is much different. Yeah. Completely different conversation. I'm trying to think if even Matt Stafford is a different conversation at his age. You know, it's a different conversation because of the position, but it's not going to be outrageous compensation because of the money he makes and the age that he's at.
I mean, he's not getting released. Garrett's not getting released, but Cooper Kupp, Debo Samuel, John Allen, like,
could be.
You know, the other team's like, okay, you're probably going to have to get rid of this guy. So we'll wait it out or, you know, what have you. We'll see. But, it remains to be said, for all the people who want to say that Washington is sort of this player away and therefore they're going to be that aggressive, you know, this was a relatively quiet trip, I thought, for news and information. But in talking to people, it was like, how do you even assess where Washington is when you have 28 free agents and coming off the season that they had, which is obviously very impressive with Jaden Daniels. But like, yeah, there's still a lot of holes. Even if you brought back all 28 people, they still can't stop the run, right? Who's the number two receiver, or, you know, Zach Ertz going to do that again, et cetera. So it's just hard to look at them and say, well, yeah, they're definitely one team away. And yet
one player away.
One player away. Sorry. And yet you can't look at it and go, wow, there's no chance here. I mean, Jaden Daniels, and look what they did. You know, I mean, so, it's fascinating to wonder how big of a swing they're going to take. But I just think that some of these people are just a bit over their skis and just assuming that Washington is definitely that team.
Yeah, well, the issue, too, is, you know, you can talk about being aggressive and talk about recognizing the window that you're in, but if it doesn't sync up with a free agency class where there's a lot of, you know, true massive upgrades, because it looks like now even Trey Smith might get franchise tagged by Kansas City. So you got all those situations. I think we kind of predicted the week would be much more about not draft, you know, eligible players, but about the rest of the league and veteran players, and I think that's come to fruition. I think the interesting thing, and you heard Adam Peters say this earlier in the week, is that Washington has the second fewest players in the league under contract. They've got 46 players under contract, but, you know, close to, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14 of those are league minimum fill out the camp roster, training camp roster guys. They've got to get really, they're going to be very, very busy in a similar way, maybe to the way they were last year. But that's what's going to be interesting once free agency, maybe even before it gets underway with their own free agents, because they got a lot. Can't go to camp with 46 guys and seven draft choices.
Right. Well, the other thing, though, is like, look, we understand why they're in this situation for two years in a row. Last year, they needed to overturn the roster to, you know, reset the culture and get more talent. They did that. They signed a bunch of guys to one-year deals. Cool. Right. It worked out. They weren't locking themselves up longer term just in case things didn't work out. But now they're in this position again. You can't do this every year, though. You do have to start having it such that in the offseason, okay, they need, you know, they need a new, I'm making this up, they need a new linebacker, they need a more speed at receiver, and a couple things. You can't be every year, okay, you know, a bunch of starters are missing, all your depth is gone at certain spots. And in order for that to happen, that's where you keep your draft picks. That's where obviously you have to do well with those picks, but you got to have those guys, and then sign some players to, you know, more of the Frankie Louvu type last year in terms of, you know, 3-year deals or whatever. So in order to do that, though, if you trade away your picks and spend all your money on like one or two guys, well, then you're not doing that. You know, then you're still in the same boat. So, you know, it's an interesting needle they need to thread, but they got to build the team beyond just the 1 year now, but you know, but everybody wants them to take these big swings, which could eat into their draft picks and cap space to a degree.
Well, not to mention the fact that there's just a cash piece to this when you're signing, you know, all of your players to short-term deals in the same off seasons. It becomes a massive cash outlay, even if it's not, you know, even if we're not talking about massive deals, but you've got a lot, you know, in 1 year deals, you're paying it all, you know, in 1 year and in one off season. So you've got that too. That's a point that, you know, you just made that I think is important for people to understand. When you sign somebody to a 2-3-4 year contract, you get to spread a lot of that out, and not all of the cash is due up front. There is signing bonus money due, and sometimes you have 2 years to pay that off. But yeah, look, you don't want, it was recalibration a year ago. It was what you said, turning over the roster, creating a new culture, and dipping their toes into, you know, the players, a couple of these 2- and 3-year deals. But you don't want to be in the same spot next year where you've got 28 free agents and you've got 44 roster spots. But the 44 roster spots, that's the interesting thing now, right? Like, so what are they going to do? You've written a story. Ben's got a 10-step off-season plan. We're not going to go through all the steps. You got to subscribe to The Athletic to read all of them. But, you know, the first thing you got right already, that they're going to move on from John Allen, certainly seems that way. I don't expect, by the way, you know, Adam Peters to say that him coming back isn't a possibility. You're not going to do that. But more likely than not, he's gone. The next step is extending Terry McLaurin. What do you think he'll get? Where is he going to rank in average annual when he gets this extension, which I think he will too?
Yeah, you know, you look at the top of the receivers, you've got sort of the Jalen Waddle is about 28. At $30 million, you got Brandon Ayuk, Amon-Ra St. Brown. At 32 is A.J. Brown. At 34 annual is C.D. Lamb. And then after that, it's Justin Jefferson, and it will be Ja'Marr Chase once his deal goes through. I mean, from like a production standpoint, from a what do they mean to the organization standpoint, you know, maybe there's an argument about Terry McLaurin and C.D. Lamb being, you know, closer than maybe people think based on sort of hype and perception and like fantasy football drafts and things like that. But C.D. Lamb is also, you know, 5 or 6 years younger than right. Terry McLaurin. You know, but then you look at the guys who are like at the center, like at that, you know, $30 million, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown's been a very good receiver, but you know, this is how it works. It's not a matter of saying he shouldn't get,
well, he's younger too.
He's younger too, right. But like, you know, I mean, Terry, you know, this is where it is. He's the guy who's up next. He's just coming off the best year of his career. You know, it's funny. He set the franchise record for touchdowns by a receiver in a season. And yet this didn't sink into me until the other day. He actually had fewer targets in any year than since his rookie season. I mean, not
right.
by tons, but
yeah.
like, you know,
yeah.
it wasn't like he was getting like every pass. He was just highly productive. So, you know, I think it's somewhere in that $30 million range. And it's just a matter of, does it go, you know, does it reach up to AJ Brown or CeeDee Lamb levels? You know, if I'm Washington, on the one hand, I wouldn't mind probably getting this deal done. You know, it's going to happen, I would think, unless something just incredibly goes wrong in negotiations. But like, you know, if you make the deal with Terry, you can now lower his cap space or his cap hit for this year. Right. From the 20s into something more manageable, and that gives even more room. And also, you can get ahead of the T. Higgins deal. He's probably going to be the one that's going to be the biggest comp to Terry, at least in terms of the numbers. But on the other hand, if you're Terry's side, you know, you might as well wait. You know, I mean, you know, he's not a free agent, so he's not going anywhere. But you know, let the market play out. Let's see where T. Higgins goes. Ja'Marr Chase, you know, again, that'll be way over where Terry gets, but it, you know. Raises the salary structure overall for receivers. So, you know, I think that's going to be interesting to see where does this go. Again, he's not a free agent. He's still under contract. The urgency is not necessarily there the way it would be for some other players. But you know, I think it ultimately does get done. I just don't see how it doesn't. But you know, like I said, we'll see where his side comes in, where Terry's side comes in on, and how quickly Washington wants to get something done.
Talking to Ben Standing, of course. Who are the other receivers going to be on the roster?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, Luke McCaffrey's the only other one under contract. Terry's under contract. Luke McCaffrey's under contract.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think of the four guys who are out there, you know, the two Browns, Crowder and Zaccheaus, like, you know, I bringing two of them back at least seems like a no-brainer. Honestly, like, if you told me you brought all of them back, I wouldn't be like, well, that's kind of insane. I mean, look, they were highly productive last year. And again, I think we've talked about this a lot. I think people just constantly make the mistake in thinking that the receiver makes the quarterback and therefore you need to go out and spend a lot of money on them. And it's the opposite when you have a guy like Jaden Daniels. The whole point of having a guy like that is not just that they're productive, it's just that they raise the level of the players around them. But again, look, he's only played 1 year. I get it. We'll see. But like in general, if you're going to say he's in that, you know, he's on the verge of hitting that Lamar, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen category or getting close, well, that's the point. That's what those guys do. You don't have to spend as much. You need the offensive line. But, you know, in other words, I don't think it's insane to think that you could bring back, you know, two to three of the guys and then figure out, you know, this is not considered to be a really good draft for receivers, but okay, if there's somebody, you know, on day two that they like, maybe you make that move. Cooper Kupp is a name I mentioned in my story, you know, kind of more if the Rams ultimately let him go. But like, if they think he's healthy, I think that's the kind of a guy who could be this year's version of, you know, like Zach Ertz or Austin Eckler, a guy who's been talented, but coming off injuries or a down year, and you can get him on the cheap and, you know, put him in this system with Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels and, you know, help him rehab his value and help the team along the way. So, you know, there are some vets who are out there that I think could be of interesting, especially again in these sort of maybe like a, this would be a case where maybe it's like a 1 year prove it deal for a guy like a Kupp or a Debo if he were to get out there, something along those lines, if that's what the player would want. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think you bring back most of the guys. And look, you know, in case of McCaffrey, I don't want to say treat him like he's the new guy, but to some degree it is like that. He obviously has only played, played receiver 2 years in college. Didn't do a ton at receiver last year, you know, assuming that they still believe in him, which I think they do, then, you know, he could be the guy who emerges. And now all of a sudden you have a young guy, and you know, De'Ami Brown's only 25. I'm not going to sit here and say what we saw at the end of the year is definitively who he is, but obviously he was a big step up from what he had been. And if they think that's real, you know, he's still, you know, pretty fairly young guy. So I think you could do worse than bring back most of the guys they have, especially if you think that Jaden is, you know, only going to continue to get better.
Yeah, I would not have an issue if they just brought people back. I think, you know, what we saw with the quarterback, and by the way, I would mention also the offensive coordinator, was, you know, leveraging that great quarterback play, but also his creativity. There were people open, and those guys all thrived. And sure, you could do better talent-wise. And we've seen at times a quarterback like Mahomes struggle without, you know, legitimate, you know, threats at wide receiver. We've seen that occasionally even in places like Buffalo. But we have a star receiver in Terry McLaurin, that's for sure. We're talking to Ben Standig. What was the vibe, other than what we read back here about Cleveland's Andrew Berry insisting that they're not going to trade Myles Garrett. You were there. You talked to a lot of people. Do you think that they're telling the truth?
I think they're telling the truth for late February. You know, I think that, you know, look, Andrew Berry, you know, well, I mean, for one, just purely from a negotiation standpoint, you know, you don't want to concede that you're trading the guy, and now all of a sudden the offers are a little bit less because I think you have no choice. So there's that aspect. And, you know, look, clearly that organization has been an absolute mess the last couple of years because of the Deshaun Watson deal, and that's, you know, still going to be in play even if Watson doesn't play this year because of this Achilles issue. But, you know, can they still fill out a full roster the way they would want with the Watson deal on board? You know, if the answer is no, then, you know, trading Garrett, you know, is arguably the thing that they should do because, you know, they got to have to start over. But, you know, does the GM have room to start over? Is the owner saying, don't worry about it, you're here for the next 5 years, go ahead and do it if need be? You know, that's the part we don't know. So I don't know. I mean, I think in general, I think there was a sense that Myles Garrett seems to be pretty resolute about wanting out and that he doesn't expect to play for them again. You know, again, we'll see if it happens. You get into training camp and then you really sit out and lose all the money that he would get. It's easier said than done again in February than when it really comes to it. But, yeah, I mean, I think at some point it seems reasonable that Cleveland could ultimately have to change their mind because the reality sets in. But, you know, for an organization like that, and we've dealt with that here, sometimes what is viewed as reality does not hit home to the people running the show. And if they are going to think that, hey, you know, we go out and get a quarterback this offseason one way or the other, whether it's drafting camp, you know, Cam Ward at two or, you know, signing some vet, why can't they be, you know, a team that makes a quick turnaround? You know, they've got, in theory, a good defense with Myles Garrett. So I think that part's up in the air. I will just say that, that when talking to people about Washington, I just generally, again, got sort of the vibe of, like, you got to tell me more about the roster before I tell you that they're a Myles Garrett away from, you know, catching Philly or being a more viable contender than even they were last year. And that's the part where, you know, we have no idea what Washington's roster going to look like. And they, you know, if Cleveland isn't willing to trade Myles Garrett until after free agency starts, I mean, then Washington has to do something, right? You know, they can't just sit there and wait.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, but if they can't upgrade the roster from where it was last season, then that's on Adam Peters in the front office, and I think there's more confidence in him. He earned it after a year. Sure, it's possible that the roster's even less than it was and that they whiff on more moves than they hit on in this offseason. But they certainly have an opportunity to get better. And by the way, some of that will just come organically with players in a system for a second year.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. I mean, obviously they're going to try to make things better. But look, you know, we know how this game goes. You know, you sign, you know, they signed William Jackson, not this group, but they signed William Jackson a couple of years ago. He was basically the highest paid cornerback in free agency, and that was an utter disaster. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm saying, like, you don't – when you have all these things, you don't know. None of us predicted last year, looking at the group that they had, that they were going to win 12 games, right? And so much of that – it was Jaden, but just so much worked out. Zach Ertz plays a full season. You know, guys like Zacchaeus and Noah Brown were effective, and you go on down the line. So that's the part where it's like, okay, like, well, we can't just assume – that everybody they bring in is going to work out the way they did a year ago. Therefore, what's the baseline of the team? And other than Jaden and Terry, you know, there's not a ton else at the moment where you're going, wow, that's a definitive strength. That player is definitely, you know, even their draft class, Mikey Sanders still looks like a starter. Johnny Newton and Brandon Coleman did some good things, but, you know, I don't know. Are we ready to sit here and say they're cornerstone pieces? I don't think yet, even though they, you know, are arguably going to be. So it's just stuff like that, like, you know, sure, get better, but last year just so much went their way. You got to have to, again, this is why you don't want to have to be in this position with 20 something free agents every year. You want to have some stability. You want to have pieces that are proven in place, going to be around for more than a year or two. And, you know, they're still building that, which is completely reasonable for only the second year. It's just that expectations went sky high after what they did. And that's why I mean, people who are grounded are like, look, you like it all. You like Jaden, but how do you figure out exactly what your roster is when you don't, you know, half the roster is missing?
Yeah, it's basically exactly half of it at this point. Pete Carroll said something earlier this week. I'm looking for the exact quote, but I'll paraphrase. Basically, yeah, Bobby's a free agent, referring to Bobby Wagner. What's your guess on Bobby Wagner? Does he re-sign here or does he sign elsewhere?
Well, you know, he got – it's funny. Most of the free agents didn't get name-checked by the media or by the staff or, you know, Peters or Quinn, because there's just so many of them. But Wagner was somebody that Quinn brought up organically. I believe it was in response to a question about, like, what does Jaden need to work on this offseason? And he cited Wagner as saying, hey, I don't know what Bobby Wagner is up to today, but I guarantee he's getting better. And that's what you want for Jaden and for all of our players. And then he was asked about, okay, well, you brought up Wagner. What about him coming back? And he makes the joke, you'll have to ask his agent. Wagner is his own agent. I just think there's so much fondness and affection there. You know, Quinn obviously was with Wagner back in Seattle. So for what the reality is of what they were trying to accomplish last year, you know, raise the floor, reset the culture. You know, you couldn't have had a better addition than Bobby Wagner. And I can see that Quinn would say, hey, well, let's run this back, even if there are some concerns. He's going to be 35. You know, he was slowing down in some aspects of the game. Looked like Philly was sort of targeting him a bit in the NFC Championship game. I think my biggest question, honestly, is probably what does Bobby Wagner want to do? He's a West Coast guy. You know, he was still going, like when they would have like a bye week or something, he was still going back out west because that's where his world is. Does he want to be closer in that direction? You know, Las Vegas isn't California where he's from, but it's a lot closer. He knows Pete Carroll. So, you know, and look, the Vegas team is very much looks like they're repeating Washington's approach. You know, the older coach who's had success, who's about building a culture, and you figure it out from there. So it wouldn't stun me if the Raiders said, hey, Bobby, do for us what you did for Washington. But, you know, he obviously had a tremendous year last year. He saw what this could be, the Jaden part of it. And, you know, again, it's not inconceivable that Washington has another, you know, 10-win season. And like you said, the NFC is very weird. It's, you know, I don't know, whoever the number two team is, I don't know that it's a definitive answer. Jaden's arguably the best quarterback in the conference. Detroit could be down a little bit with the new coordinator. So, you know, Washington has a lot to like. It's just, I think, kind of my guess is, what does Bobby Wagner want to do with his, you know, where does he want to play is probably my best guess as to, you know, what's the key factor here. I guess Washington would say bring him back for all the intangibles, but, you know, if you told me they went younger there, it wouldn't be nuts. It's just, you know what you have with Wagner, and I think there's something to be said for that.
All right, last one with Ben, and it's more league-related. I mean, I think, you know, the Matt Stafford story is still one of the more interesting off-season stories, maybe the most interesting off-season story by far. And it seems like, you know, there's a lot of activity around it even today. Raiders and Giants apparently have both, you know, kind of pitched the Rams. They're significantly interested. What was that buzz like as it relates to him? Were people still unsure as to why the Rams would be okay moving on from Matt Stafford?
There shouldn't be a lot of question there. You know, I guess it's just like anything else though, right? Like Matthew Stafford knows he doesn't have too much time in his career. He wants to have a shot to win. They were the team that was closest to beating the Eagles last year in the postseason. And, you know, obviously the McVay Stafford thing has worked, you know, rather well since they've been paired together. But if, you know, simultaneously Stafford wants a new deal, he wants to get paid, you know, what he thinks is worth. And, you know, in this QB market, you know, sure, if you tell me he gets $50 million or something next year, sure. But, you know, I don't know that the Rams necessarily want to give him that. They've got to think bigger picture. They know he's towards the end. So, yeah, I think there's some confusion as to why this is happening, but Again, if he wants money and they want him to play, but not for some big raise, then that's going to be a potential impasse. And that's where we're at. I guess it feels like he's going to stay. If you're Stafford, I guess it is ultimately like, I'm not saying you can't have more money, but what does it mean to you if the Giants or the Raiders are willing to pay you what you think you're owed, but they're lousy teams and your chances of contending are very minimal, right? Unless you're just so confident that you're going to be the difference maker, which in those cases just seems that they're too far away. So I would imagine he ultimately stays with the Rams, but I think this is why they're willing to say, look, man, if there's a team out there that you think it'll give you a better deal than us, both in terms of contending and paying you, then, rock on. But, we kind of don't think that's going to be the case.
All right. I will talk to you Monday. There's more, by the way, for those of you that don't know, there's plenty of Indy Combine to go this weekend. It'll be on TV all weekend long. I'll talk to you Monday. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Always, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Adam Peters said something earlier this week. We keep getting more of these one-on-one ones with Adam Peters. He said something about his meeting with Jaden Daniels for the first time a year ago at the Indy Combine. You'll hear what he said next.